This podcast of The Exchange is sponsored by
Doucette Survey, serving your professional land surveying and mapping needs in New England, now with offices in New Hampshire and Maine. Information at doucetsurvey.com. That's doucetsurvey.com.
And Northeast Credit Union, helping their members save money through free checking accounts and refinancing of auto, home, and personal loans. Northeast Credit Union, encouraging you to discover the difference at necu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, equal housing opportunity.
And Dartmouth Hitchcock, creating a new model for healthcare where leading health systems collaborate to improve care for all of us. A sustainable system improving the health of our communities for years to come. Information at imagine.d-h.org. Enjoy the show.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. It's been a difficult few weeks for our guest today, New Hampshire Democratic Governor Maggie Hassan. In late June, the governor vetoed a Republican-backed budget, largely due to the business tax cuts it included. The GOP plan also did not support continued funding for Medicaid expansion, a key Hassan priority. But overall, in dollar terms, the difference between the Democratic governor and the Republican legislature is relatively small, $11.5 billion versus $11.35 billion. So with numbers that close, compromise doesn't seem like it'd be that hard to achieve, but so far, middle ground has been elusive. 2 weeks ago on The Exchange, we sat down with Republican and Democratic lawmakers on the budget. Today, Governor Hassan is here with her perspective, and let's hear from you, too. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. And Governor Hassan, welcome back. Good to see you.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
What's the way out of this, Governor Hassan?
Well, as you know, over the last couple of years, we've made great progress as a state coming together with the budget, a bipartisan budget that we put together 2 years ago that invested in key economic priorities to help us build a 21st century economy. So higher education, making it more affordable. And we actually not only froze higher education at the university system, we reduced it at the community college system. We came together in a bipartisan way to expand Medicaid coverage, our New Hampshire Health Protection Plan, not only so people, 40,000 Granite Staters, hardworking Granite Staters now have coverage, but they also don't face financial ruin if they do get sick. We came together with a bipartisan way to fund our roads and bridges, making sure that we'd have safe and modern transportation for our people and our businesses and our economy. And then we really began to tackle two critical issues, our substance abuse problem and our mental health challenges. That's what we were able to do over the last 2 years coming together. And when I proposed a budget in February, I proposed a budget that would build on that progress, continue those investments, recognizing some other challenges we had, but also saying that we needed to have a budget process that was honest and clear about what we were going to do and why, and really stop relying on some of the gimmicks that we had used. I call them gimmicks. They were one-time kind of emergency things we did during the height of the recession that have become bad habits. But they had a tendency to make people believe that we were funding more things than we were funding. So that's kind of the backdrop here. I did not decide to veto the budget that the Republicans presented to me lightly. All spring, I had been encouraging them to sit down with Democrats so that we could have a bipartisan budget. I understood and continue to understand that reducing the corporate tax rate for businesses is important to them. And as I've said, I'm not philosophically opposed to that. But I am opposed to creating a huge hole, not only in the current budget, but in future budgets, even bigger holes. Unpaid for tax cuts that create those big holes will make it nearly impossible for us to continue to invest in those critical priorities that businesses and people tell me are so necessary for our future. And just to give people a little bit of context here, we know that in this budget, the reduction of the corporate tax rate that the Republicans put in costs about $21 million. And as a result, they made choices that I wouldn't make.
In terms of funding
priorities. In terms of funding substance abuse treatment in terms and prevention, in terms of funding our roads and bridges, in terms of the university system and community colleges. The university system got no year-to-year increase and is now raising its tuition. They decided that we couldn't afford to continue our healthcare expansion plan, critical for our substance abuse program. They raided a dedicated fund that teachers pay their own money into for credentialing. They raided a renewable energy fund. Now, that was for the first stage of these cuts. When you take these cuts out into the next couple of budgets, it's a $65 million hit for the next budget and a $90 million hit after that. $90 million is more than the entire budget of the community college system. It's more than the entire court system spends in a year. It's a lot of money in New Hampshire's budget. And if we have these unpaid-for tax cuts, we will not be able to address the critical economic priorities that we've come together and really built a foundation for in the last couple of years. So about a month ago, I proposed a compromise, sent it to the Speaker and the Senate President.
Was this before the veto?
Before the final Committee of Conference vote. I said, you know, here are the issues I have. Here's a way forward. Here's how we could compromise. Here's how we could pay for some of those business tax cuts. And I just haven't heard back.
What did that look like?
Well, it looked like, for instance, if you're going to put a rate reduction in on the corporate tax rate, you do have to figure out a way to offset the revenue you lose. So I proposed increasing the cigarette tax. I proposed closing a loophole in the tax code right now that some folks we believe are taking advantage of at the expense of people who are paying their taxes the way they're supposed to. And so those are the kinds of things I proposed. And I continue to invite my colleagues in the legislature to come back to the table to respond substantively to that proposal or come up with another one. I think it's really important that we work on this now. We have a continuing resolution in place, and I'm grateful to the legislature for having put that in place. But the longer we go, the more the limitations of that continuing resolution will begin to impact the people and businesses of New Hampshire. And I think we really need to come together and find our way forward.
Well, the budget that you talked about, the bipartisan budget that was much lauded by everybody 2 years ago, the current budget does increase spending by almost 5% over that budget that you praised, Governor Hassan. So, you know, nobody gets whatever they want in politics. Maybe this current budget isn't that bad. It does increase spending by almost 5% for those critical priorities.
Again, there are pieces of the budget that was presented to me that do reflect some common ground. And I am grateful that we all continue to talk about the importance of investing in certain kinds of priorities. And, you know, some of what you see with an increase in budget also has to do with some settlements and other things that mean that we had fewer dollars to devote to some of the general items that
the mental health settlement and the hospital settlement.
And the hospital settlement. So some of what you see in this budget adjusts for that. But again, the most important thing is not what we are spending on in this 2 years. It's what those unpaid-for business tax cuts would do in future years, because we would really have to roll back all of the work we're doing right now. And that's not wise budgeting, and that really puts our future at risk. We can't build the kind of 21st century economy we want to build if, in fact, we are retracting revenues over time. It really means that we will not have the kind of economy or the foundation for that economy that we're building right now.
When you talk about the $90 million, again, that's three budget cycles out from here. Do we normally project that far out in terms of revenue? It seems like we're constantly readjusting our revenue assumptions or estimates.
We certainly don't implement a kind of revenue cut that we see here well into the future without thinking about it. I mean, all of our fiscal notes for the legislation that we see looks out for 5 years. If I were to say, hey, let's say that we are going to fund anything, let's say the university system, at triple what we're funding now in 3 years, people would say, well, we can't do that. We don't know where we're going to be in 3 years. That's not the way we budget. And the fact that just because we've never done it before isn't really a satisfactory answer. When we know that corporate tax rates are going to deplete our capacity to invest in critical priorities, I think we have a responsibility to have a discussion about that. Furthermore, when you look at what's happening in other parts of the country, there have been states that have tried this business tax cut process, and states like Kansas, and they have seen rivers of red ink, and they are now not only doing incredible cuts to their spending, but they're also increasing taxes mostly on the backs of middle-class taxpayers because they tried what they called was an experiment in Koch brother economics, this notion of trickle-down economics, a notion, by the way, that even Speaker Jasper says he doesn't believe is correct.
Let's go to our listeners, Governor Haslam. Then I have a couple more questions for you on this and a bunch of other issues that have come up this year. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Exchange listeners, it's your chance to talk with New Hampshire Governor Maggie Hassan. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And Sam is up first from Amherst. Hi, Sam. You're on the Exchange.
Yeah, hi. Governor, I'm interested to know, is there any scenario in which you'd accept business tax cuts in a budget deal?
Any scenario at all, Sam. Yeah, thank
Sam,
you.
Sam, I actually sent up a compromise proposal over a month ago to the Republicans, which did provide for a corporate business tax cut as long as we offset it by some other things like closing a loophole in the current tax code that we have and like raising the cigarette tax. So I'm not philosophically opposed to it. What I am opposed to is what they've done in places like Kansas or Louisiana where they've just cut business taxes on the theory that that would spur economic growth and revenues would come up. And in fact, it hasn't worked. So these are unpaid for business tax cuts that will really devastate our capacity to invest in the economic priorities that businesses tell me they want. They tell me that we need an educated workforce, safe and modern transportation, good public health and good public safety. And they tell me that we should be investing in those things. And what we see in Kansas and other states is when they've just done the tax cuts and blown big holes in their budget, as the Republican budget sent to me would have done, they see a decline in the economy, increase in taxes for middle-class families, and rivers of red ink in the state budget, which is just a very troubling thing for a whole state's economy. So, again, I am happy to have a talk about how we can, in fact, cut corporate tax rates. And I understand from the business community, and as Speaker Jasper has said, that it is symbolic at the very least. But I do think you have to pay for them.
Are they too high? I mean, outside of this whole budget discussion, are they too high to make New Hampshire competitively?
Well, so the Tax Foundation says we have the seventh best business tax climate in the country, and we have the lowest state revenues per capita in the country.
We'll follow up after a short break. Lots more to talk about. You can join us, too. Thank you, Sam. 1-800-892-6477 for that call. You can also email us, exchange@nhpr.org. More in a moment. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're sitting down with New Hampshire Governor Maggie Hassan. We're talking about the state budget and a number of other issues. We invite you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And just before the break, Governor Hassan, we were talking about the business tax cuts. Again, that seems to be the sticking point in this budget impasse. Sam, our caller, said, are you open to any type of business tax cut? And you seem to be saying yes, but not too much.
The answer is I am open to it if we pay for them, if we recognize that when you take away revenue from the state budget, it has an impact and we need to address that impact. And what businesses tell me, businesses like Tom Strickland from Sequoia Technologies in Peterborough tell me, he wrote a letter saying, you know, I added up the business tax cuts in the Republican budget and it would be about $150 for me. So maybe I could take my wife out to dinner a couple of times. But he said that doesn't help with the broadband infrastructure challenge we've got in that part of the state or roads and bridges or higher education. So that's really what we need to find a way forward on, and I think there is a way forward on that. But it does take us all being at the table, and it takes understanding that if we are going to significantly cut business taxes the way the Republican budget proposed, that there will be a cost to future budgets. And it's really important that we offset that, because what we know, because we have examples around the country like Kansas, is that when you just cut business taxes, you don't spur more economic activity, you don't increase revenues, and that's in fact what Speaker Jasper has said.
Is that a fair comparison, Kansas? From what I understand, they had a much broader slate of tax cuts, income tax cuts, and so forth. These seem modest, these business tax
cuts.
Well,
this is, but realize what portion of our general fund state revenues come from our corporate tax rates, because we don't have an income or sales tax. But what is clear from Kansas is that the theory that when you cut business taxes, you will just spur economic activity does not prove to be true. And you can look at other states as well.
We spoke to Speaker Jasper, Senator Morse, a week or two ago about this. Here's what Speaker Jasper said about how big these tax cuts are, what their impact might be.
We have the 10th worst job creation in the country. We have to do something. There's a lot of little things we can do to bring businesses into New Hampshire to make it more attractive. This is a tiny, tiny thing. Anytime we've ever done anything with business taxes, in my memory, it's always at a half percent or a full percent at a time. This is $21 million out of $11.3 billion. That needs to be put into perspective. That is less than 0.2%.
So again, not a big deal, and also that it, you know, given our relatively high business tax rate, how do you project that message that New Hampshire's open for business, that this is a business-friendly place, come on in, create jobs, if not through these tax cuts?
Well, so New Hampshire leads New England in economic growth, tied with Massachusetts for that, and we're beating the national average on economic growth. We have the fifth lowest unemployment rate in the country, and we are really pushing forward because we have invested in these critical priorities. We just got rated A by Ball State University on our workforce. We have more work to do there. But we know that we need to continue to invest in these priorities. And with respect to Speaker Jasper, the $90 million hole that this would blow in the 18-19 budget is a $90 million that is more than the entire two-year budget for the community college system. It is more when you add the Department of Justice, Department of Labor, and Department of Agriculture in New Hampshire. $90 million is more than their budgets combined. It is not a small amount of money. And the $21 million from the first stage of the tax cut in this budget that I vetoed, that $21 million hole forced the Republicans to make choices that I do not believe reflect the choices that the people of New Hampshire would make.
So
I had proposed an increase for substance abuse prevention and treatment paid through the Governor's Commission on Alcohol and Drug Treatment, Prevention, Treatment, and Recovery. I had proposed tripling the funding for that. They cut my proposed increase by 30%. They raided teachers' money, money that teachers paid into a dedicated fund to pay for their credentialing process. They took money from those teachers to pay for this $21 million. They took money from the Renewable Energy Dedicated Fund to pay for this.
Just a little bit. Most of that fund was maintained.
But if the premise is that $21 million isn't a big deal, then they shouldn't have needed to make these choices. And let's also remember that they've underfunded our winter maintenance budget in DOT by about $5 million, kind of hoping it won't snow in New Hampshire next winter. These are not the kind of choices that you should be making if the so-called hole in the budget that you're creating with these tax cuts is not a big deal.
So I guess getting back to my first question, Governor Hassan, what's the way out? You seem to feel very strongly about this. We talked to them 2 weeks ago. They feel just as strongly that it is important to send this message. New Hampshire's business friendly, to kind of get the state's old mojo back. What's the way out?
Well, I think you're posing with respect to false dichotomy. It isn't either do what they do or do what my budget proposed in February. It's coming together and finding a way forward. As I've said, I'm not opposed philosophically to reducing business taxes. I understand the argument that when businesses first look at the top line and don't look at all the other pieces of New Hampshire's tax picture, like no sales or income tax, it is a higher rate than neighboring states. So I've proposed a way where we could lower that rate but pay for it with something like an increase in the cigarette tax and some other adjustments that we need to make. There are ways forward here, and what we need to do is come together and talk about those ways forward. My concern, and as I said, I didn't veto the budget lightly, but I was basically, given the choice of the budget as they presented it. They didn't respond to compromise proposals that I sent to them. So I was kind of presented with a take-it-or-leave-it situation, and a $90 million hole in two budgets from now, a $65 million hole. And this doesn't, by the way, even get to the fact that the budget wasn't balanced, that they double-counted 15 money and used it in 16. It doesn't take into account that they've used so much one-time money in this budget that our next budget will have a $100 million hole between the business tax cuts and the one-time money. We need to come back to the table and be fiscally responsible as we address bringing more businesses to New Hampshire, not only with the possibility of corporate tax cuts, but things like the Live Free and Start initiative that I have and some other tax law changes we could make.
All right. Well, I guess we won't resolve it here and now. And I understand what you're talking about with the mix up between this current budget and last year's budget, but we're not going to get into that right now. Yeah. We did talk about that 2 weeks ago. I do want to share you, though, with our listeners, Governor Hassan. I've got a stack of emails here.
Sure.
Lots of people want to jump in on the phone. So let's go to Steve and Bo. Hi, Steve. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a family physician in Bedford, New Hampshire, and I'm actively treating a fair number of people who have drug abuse problems with a medication called Suboxone. I'd like to point out to the governor, and she may or may not be aware of this, that the Medicaid managed care program that has been instituted over the last year or so greatly interferes with my trying to treat this vulnerable population. Specifically, I have to do 3 to 4 hours of prior authorizations in the Medicaid realm because of their bureaucratic barriers to using some of my medications. So I just wanted to make sure that the governor was aware that even though the state is supposedly trying to help people with drug abuse problems, there are bureaucratic barriers that are up there that she could help us with in terms of lessening going forward.
Steve, thank you for the call. And just to let the general audience know, Medicaid managed care is where the state is moving, where the Medicaid population is handled by, I think it's 2 or 3 different private companies. And Steve says that's creating a lot of bureaucracy.
Well, Steve, first of all, thank you for your call and thank you for being a primary care physician. You guys are the foundation of good medical care in New Hampshire and one of the reasons we have one of the healthiest states in the country. As to substance abuse, first of all, it's really important for listeners to know that one of the reasons that continuing our Medicaid expansion program is so important is that Medicaid expansion, the New Hampshire Health Protection Plan that was a bipartisan plan, covers behavioral health and substance abuse for the first time. And thousands of people since Medicaid expansion has come into law have gotten treatment for behavioral health and substance abuse issues. And that's critical, obviously, to our health as a people and to our economy and having a productive workforce. One of the reasons that it's important to reauthorize it is that one of the things we're hearing from other folks who do, for instance, substance abuse treatment providers is that they're holding back on coming into the state and setting up more treatment options because they're not sure whether expansion is going to be continued. And so that's one of the reasons I've been pushing with the legislature to reauthorize our expansion program sooner rather than later.
That was included in your version
right,
of the budget,
so
not
that,
the Republican
so
budget.
That we're, the uncertainty around whether we're going to have it doesn't impact our capacity to treat substance abuse and stand up those kind of treatment providers around the state. The other thing, and I appreciate, Steve, your note on the managed care piece of this, is within the next year under the New Hampshire Health Protection Plan, our bipartisan plan, people will be moved, the Medicaid expansion program will be moved out of the managed care companies and onto the regular marketplace, the insurance marketplace, which is bringing more insurers into our marketplace and providing more options for the overall population in New Hampshire, which is a positive thing. But again, the uncertainty around expansion has meant that some insurers aren't quite sure what their next move is, another reason we need to be moving forward with expansion. Finally, Steve, to the specifics, I would be happy to have my office follow up with you. We do have a Medicaid Managed Care Commission that meets just about monthly with experts from a variety of different perspectives who have been helping providers and clients and customers deal with the move into managed care in the Medicaid program. And I'd really like to make sure that you are working with that commission if you haven't been already. I do have a staff person who spearheads this for me, and I'd be pleased to follow up with you further.
Well, and we haven't talked that much about Medicaid, but that was another sticking point. As you said, expanded Medicaid was not funded in the Republican budget. It was in your budget about $12 million?
Yeah,
Governor Hassan,
which represents what happens in 17 under federal law is the federal government goes from paying 100% to 95%. We value that difference at about $12 million, so we put it in the budget so people could see we could pay for it. That, of course, doesn't account for the offsets, the improved health, the emergency room cost savings. Our hospitals are seeing a significant reduction in the amount of uncompensated care, and that also means that we see less cost shift onto private health insurance premiums. So we didn't account for those offsets, but $12 million is what that 5% represents.
And over the weekend, Republican Senator Jeb Bradley had a piece in the Concord Monitor saying some of the same things that you just said, Governor, that there are indications that this is working. But he said, let's talk about reauthorizing it next year. Let's not make it part of this budget process now. He said he's committed to the program. Would you sign a budget, Governor Hassan, that did not include that $12 million for Medicaid expansion?
Well, first of all, I thank Senator Bradley for the work he did helping us reach a bipartisan agreement on the New Hampshire Health Protection Plan. And I thank him for his continued vocal support for it. And I think what's important is that we look at what the uncertainty of not reauthorizing is doing and see if there are ways we can adjust that. And that's one of the things I've asked them to talk with me about, because I certainly respect Senator Bradley's intentions of moving forward with it next year. What we haven't really been able to identify is what would make it possible to pass next year if it's not this year. And so I am very concerned that we find a way forward. For instance, the Speaker and the Senate President have both said to me that they have members in their caucuses who don't really understand it. Well, could we have a process right now that would help educate these folks who say they don't know much about it and whether it's working, so that we are really ready to reauthorize it? I think it's critical to do. I can tell you that particularly on the substance abuse side of things, the fact that we haven't reauthorized it is creating a real problem in terms of having enough people to do treatment in New Hampshire for substance abuse.
So if you guys came together on the business tax cuts, but still Medicaid was outstanding, Republicans really wanted to put it off till next year, would that be acceptable to you?
Again, I'd have to hear what their ideas are for addressing the uncertainty that our providers and our people and our businesses are facing right now. But again, the most important thing in solving any problem is getting people to the table and talking about these things.
Well, and we talked a moment ago about substance abuse. Here's an email from Henry in Gilmanton Ironworks who says, Governor Hassan, what are some of the steps you're taking now to deal with the heroin epidemic? Mm-hmm. I would add on to Henry's question, and thank you, Henry, that given that we're under continuing resolution now, substance abuse funding was supposed to go way up under this Republican budget, and now it's funded at current levels, and a lot of people are disappointed in that.
Well, first of all, I don't know that I would say that substance abuse funding went way up under the Republican proposal. It did increase. But the thing is, the $90 million hole two biennia from now, $65 million hole next biennium would totally undermine our substance abuse efforts. If we don't have money in the budget at that level, we aren't going to be able to do everything we need for substance abuse and a couple of the other critical priorities we have. But here's what we have done, and here's what we need to continue to work on. First of all, the opioid crisis is a true crisis in this state, and it is wreaking havoc in our communities and our families and our businesses. And we need an all-hands-on-deck approach to this. And it's one of the reasons we need to come together and solve this budget issue right now so we can move forward. As we just discussed, the most important thing to make sure that we have the resources we need to treat substance abuse is the Medicaid expansion program. And the longer we don't reauthorize that, the fewer providers come into our state to stand up the kind of treatment options we need. Secondly, in addition to Medicaid expansion, we have put in place a prescription drug monitoring program, and we just signed a law that allows us to share more data, which is going to be critical to making sure that people who are becoming addicted to opioids are detected and get treatment sooner rather than later when they may be turning to heroin because it becomes less expensive. We passed significant legislation over the last year to allow more and more first responders to use Narcan, which is a drug that can pull people out of an overdose. And we even now allow law enforcement to decide whether they want to get a special license to do it. Finally, I just passed a bill that would allow people to have immunity from prosecution for a possession charge if they call for help, if they are with somebody who is overdosing, a Good Samaritan law, critical to making sure that we're saving lives. But at the end of the day, this is a multi-pronged problem. It takes a multi-pronged solution. And the budget I had proposed had 30% more funding for the governor's commission than the Republican budget did. So I think we could be funding this at higher levels, and I think there's a way to do that. And moreover, it's one of the reasons that I really can't accept unpaid for business tax cuts in future budgets, because they will totally undermine our capacity to do this kind of work that's so critical to our people, our businesses, and our economy.
Coming up in just a moment, we'll read some emails, including a couple people who want to talk about New Hampshire's demographic challenges, Governor Hassan, and also someone who wants to ask you about the concealed carry veto recently. So we'll cover that in just a moment. And let's continue to hear from you. You can give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. More in a moment. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, New Hampshire Democratic Governor Maggie Hassan is here, and let's hear from you, too. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Two emails here, Governor Hassan, that I'll share with you on the same topic. Cecilia in Derry says, I'd like to ask the governor, how do you think we can keep more young people from leaving New Hampshire? Also, Hannah says, my name is Hannah, young person living in Manchester. Do you think the state is doing enough to invest in making college tuition more affordable? So two emails kind of on the same theme there, Governor Hassan. Go ahead.
Well, thanks so much for the emails and the questions. Keeping young people in our state is one of our critical challenges and so important to the future of our economy, expanding middle class opportunity, helping businesses create jobs, making sure we're innovating. That all comes down to also making sure we have a workforce here. And so that's one of the reasons that in our first budget, the bipartisan budget that we passed, we restored enough funding to the university system so that they were able to freeze tuition. And at the community college system, they reduced community college tuition. And at the same time, both systems have been innovating, working together, for instance, to find ways to have combined programs so that young people could go to 2 years at community college and then automatically matriculate to UNH and be able to save critical tuition dollars that way. But it's also one of the reasons that this budget that I vetoed was not acceptable. It had no year-to-year increase for the university system. As a result, the university system is increasing its tuition. I appreciate that they're increasing it less than they thought might be necessary at first, and they're making some cuts to do that. But I know that when we froze tuition, we saw many more in-state students go to UNH because they got the message that we were really working on affordability. You know, I was just doing some errands in my hometown the other day, and I heard two young women talking in the store, and one of them was trying to decide between a private university in Boston and UNH, and they were talking about the price points.
Did you jump in?
No, I just listened. I was really curious, but they were saying that the private university in Boston was that the price difference was so small that they were really thinking it would be worth their while to go down to Boston because they wanted to live in the city, but also because the pricing of UNH had just gone up. And certainly with our community college system, we hear the same thing. So it's one of the reasons that you can't put in, you know, these unpaid for tax cuts into a budget when you know what kind of impact it would have. The university system is still funded at pre-2010 levels, and no year-to-year increase in the budget that I was presented with for the Republicans really makes it difficult for us to attract and keep young people here. Some of the other things we're working on is rail. I had proposed that we do the environmental and engineering work necessary for bringing rail from Lawrence to Nashua and Manchester. I had proposed that in the capital budget. I'm disappointed that it wasn't in there, but I signed the capital budget this week, which was a good bipartisan capital budget. We'll continue to advocate for that because we know modern transportation options and housing options are very important to this generation of young people. We'll continue to work with our Work, Stay, Play initiative, which is really focused on how businesses might be able to give some incentives for young people to come here and work and how the state might support that. We'll continue to make this a better place for entrepreneurs. My Live Free and Start Advisory Council and initiative has really been working on how we can make this an even better place for entrepreneurs. New Hampshire is rated the fifth best in the country for entrepreneurs. I'd like us to be the first because that attracts young people. And you see and then we've also invested in our budget in some of the acceleration programs for our business incubators, especially helping new businesses often started by young people on how they can really get to the next stage.
Well, in terms of the tax cuts, I hate to keep getting back to this, but it is the big sticking point. Speaker Jasper, Senator Moore said, hey, yes, higher education needs more money. We gave them some more, not as much as they wanted, but also the business tax cuts they postulated might help businesses create these jobs for young people when they graduate. So there's sort of two ways to look at it.
Well, we should think about the fact that the business tax cuts that are proposed, 76% of the BPT tax cut would go to 1% of our businesses. 46% of the BET tax cut would go to 1% of our businesses. And it's not clear when you cut taxes the way they are proposing, when you don't pay for it, that it is a big job creator, and we've seen it in states like Kansas and Louisiana. It hasn't happened. We have the fifth lowest unemployment rate in the state. We get very very high rankings for our workforce. It is our capacity to work with companies around the education they need us to be doing that really sets us apart with programs like the one we did with and are doing with Albany International over in Rochester. We are a nimble and small state government. We have excellent university system and community college system. They need to be able to respond to demand and need, and they need to be able to be affordable when compared with other states or with private universities. And so that's something we need to continue on. And, you know, in this budget that the Republicans presented to me, there was no increase from the current fiscal year to the next – to this fiscal year for UNH, which presents real problems. And now we're seeing that tuition go up. And I'm hearing conversations like the one I heard in a store in Exeter this weekend where, I heard the young woman say UNH just raised their tuition?
Well, here's a question that that we often get asked. We're told that the state portion of university funding here in New Hampshire is very small, you know, last or second to last. So if that's the case, if it's so small, 6-7%, why is it that less state funding automatically leads to tuition increases? If it's so small to begin with, why is that connection so direct?
Well, we are a tuition-based university system, and the revenue from tuition does impact operations. But what you see is what tends to happen is we lose young people over the border because we are not competitive with tuition. Certainly, the university system is working on creating other alternatives for young people. It knows it has to innovate too. But it froze tuition in this last biennium, even though it still had less funding than it did pre-2010, which tells you that they have been innovating and they have been finding new ways to hold down costs. But they've also been innovating. You know, Granite State College has certain programs where you can get a four-year baccalaureate for $10,000. So the university system is working on affordable options at the same time that it's trying to make sure that it runs its flagship research institution, a national research institution, at levels that are competitive and with resources that are competitive.
Well, and we could talk many, many hours about higher education here in New Hampshire and all the challenges. I did want to ask you about community colleges, though, Governor Hassan. And here's an email from Rick in Concord. He says, considering that there have been many calls, most recently by the Concord Monitor and a former system vice chancellor, for an investigation of the management of the community college system of New Hampshire, would you appoint an outside group to do this? We're hearing a lot of unhappiness, Governor Hassan, among faculty and students about layoffs, about the priorities of the administration, about whether our system's moving to what some call an all-adjunct system.
I certainly have been hearing some of those same concerns, and I am reviewing the suggestion of some sort of outside review. That being said, the community college has worked really hard to innovate at a time when demand can otherwise fall. When economies pick up, as our economy is picking up, demand for some traditional community college programs tends to fall. And one of the things that I think is important is that the community college system change in some ways so that it is offering the type of things that we know our young people and our businesses need in order for us, for our young people to get the skills and our businesses to get the workforce that we need in a 21st century economy. So I think some of what is taking place here is that the system is looking at offerings that are no longer demanded very much.
Programs that
may not be as relevant in today's economy. That being said, I am aware of the concerns that people are expressing, and I am reviewing the suggestions that people are making about those.
So appointing an outside monitor to look at this, what do you think?
Well, I think I need to review the suggestions and what people are really calling for before I make a decision about how we might proceed on it.
All right. Let's take another call, Governor Hassan. And this is Rick in Loudoun. Hi, Rick. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you?
Fine.
Laura. I was just curious as to why the governor shot down the open carry law.
The concealed carry permit
concealed
law.
Concealed carry, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. And Rick, do you agree with that or not?
No. Maine and Vermont both allow it. I'm just wondering why he would not.
Okay. Rick, thank you for the question. Go ahead, Governor Hassan.
Thank you, Rick, for the question. I certainly support the Second Amendment, and I certainly support people's rights to own guns and carry guns for personal protection, hunting, and recreation. But it is important to understand what was being proposed as it relates to the way New Hampshire's gun laws work. Gun laws that have worked for over 100 years very, very well. Even Mel Thompson, who he and I probably wouldn't have agreed on much, but he always supported the current version of the concealed carry law that we have. And one of the things I looked at before making my decision was what other states do, because a number of people had said, why can't we do what Vermont does, for instance? And the fact is that all the other states that people held out as comparisons are states that have much more stringent rules at the point of purchase of a gun. So they require more background information. They have age restrictions. They restrict whether you can carry into a place that serves alcohol, for instance. And so when you really look at the other states, it is not an apples-to-apples comparison. They have much more stringent rules at the point of purchase than we do. So I think keeping with a law that has served our state well for nearly 100 years and has allowed our state to maintain its status as one of the safest states in the country without interfering with people's Second Amendment rights is really an important thing. And so that's what informed my decision to veto it.
Well, supporters of this, Governor Hassan, said that they were concerned about discrimination. Police officers can take their own bias into account when deciding if someone is suitable to carry a concealed gun, that there is no definition of who is suitable or not. So you could be, a certain police chief could be discriminatory against women or racial minorities and so forth.
So I think it's important that in a state in which we don't have any kind of really rigorous statewide review at the point of sale, that local authorities have some input here. And I don't hear evidence of discrimination. I trust our local law enforcement to do this in a fair and objective way. And there is an appeal process in place. And certainly both state and federal law protect people from discrimination. So if that is the case, I would encourage people, if people feel they've been discriminated against, to come forward. But, you know, when people have stopped me to speak to me about this, people who wanted me to sign the bill, and I've asked them whether they've had any difficulty getting a permit, they've said no, they have a concealed carry permit. So it seems to me that the law is working as it has for about the past 100 years. And I just really think it's important that we keep the laws that have helped us be so safe in place.
You also vetoed a bill to require a 30-day residency requirement in the state before somebody could cast a New Hampshire ballot. So you'd have to live here for 30 days before you could vote. Secretary of State Gardner supported this bill. Why did you oppose it, Governor Hassan?
Voting is our most fundamental right. And all this bill did was keep people who are lawfully living in New Hampshire from voting without doing anything about voter fraud. Certainly, we should investigate and prosecute cases of voter fraud. But all this bill did was say that somebody who moved to New Hampshire to take a new job, let's say 31 days before a September primary in our midterm elections, that person who moved here 31 days ahead of the primary could vote, but somebody who moved here 29 days ahead couldn't. That keeps thousands of people from voting without any countervailing value to prevent voter fraud, because there was nothing in the bill that kept people, let's say, from lying about where they live. So I think it's important that we do everything we can to encourage people to vote. We are the first in the nation primary state, and the notion that somebody who moved here, let's say, you know, a doctor moves here with her family 29 days before the New Hampshire primary, we have same-day voter registration, and we wouldn't say that that person who's, you know, becoming a community member right away would vote. That makes no sense to me at all. It also really discourages people from voting in a state that prides itself in its civic engagement. So that's why I vetoed it. There's also not only a constitutional right to vote, but a constitutional right to travel. And courts have said that this kind of restriction is not constitutional.
Well, just very quickly, Governor Hassan, we have less than 2 minutes left. Are there meetings planned for this week or this month or in August to reach agreement on this budget impasse before the fall? Because the longer this goes on, the more we hear about pain, whether it's in the mental health system, substance abuse, roads, you know, people want this money to come through.
We have had some informal discussions. We will have some more informal discussions this
week.
Informal, just hearing each other out. And I am continuing to ask the legislative leadership to come back to the table and am looking forward to I think there was a sense that people needed to take a little bit of a deep breath. At least that's what the legislators told me. So I'm happy and available to meet with them at any time. And I expect to have meetings this week.
A lot of people are saying, on the legislative side anyway, September. Do you think it's going to be that long?
We do not need to wait to September to get back to the table. There have been indications from legislative leaders that they want to see our preliminary, closed books. We do a financial audit and have preliminary results from that because of some of the differences we've had about the 2015 carry-forward funds. We can understand our financial picture sooner than that, but more importantly, we can get to a conceptual agreement and compromise here well before September, and we should.
Okay, one more timing question. There's a lot of speculation. Will she run for re-election for governor? Will she run for U.S. Senate? I know you're not going to tell me here today, Laura, this is what I've decided to do, but can you give us a sense of when you will make that decision?
I am focused every day on trying to find a good compromise budget that will move us forward as a people and as an economy. I love my job as governor. I have no timetable for making 2016 decisions.
Okay, Governor Hassan, thank you for taking time out for us today. We appreciate it. That's New Hampshire Governor Maggie Hassan. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. The senior producer is Ellen Grimm. Our producers are Faith Mikesell and Jason Moon. Our intern is Noah Bunnell. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord, and I'm Laura Kanoy.